Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday, September 25th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
Let Tim host. How are you doing, Bless?
Tim, I'm doing really good. Now that I've seen the transition that Kevin was talking about before the show. Kevin, ever since moving to San Francisco, I've been getting hints of what I've been hearing about Kevin over the years. Because of course, mm-hmm. you guys talk about Kevin all the time. Yeah. Talk about how Kevin's many things. Kevin's very helpful. He's very mm-hmm. he's a dude who's very convenient to have around. Very friendly, but also very chaotic. And
he's an amplifier. He amplifies literally everything, good and bad. But
and
you just got to point the good at him, and the next thing you know, you got a winner.
And I've been experiencing Kevin a lot for the last 2 days, and I'm going to get to that. But right before the show, Kevin was like, "Hey guys, just a heads up, guys. Like, I've been messing with some things," and then just ended it there. Me and you were like, "What does that mean?" To which he said,
"Just messing with some stuff. We'll see what happens."
Yeah,
it's like we're about to go live.
Yeah, we're about to go live in 3 minutes. What does that mean? Kevin's like, "Oh yeah, I've just been messing with some transitions and some other things." To which I'm like, "What are the other things?" But to Kevin's credit, that transition did look slick. And so shout out to that. Good job,
Kevin. I missed it. I didn't see it.
He did like a zoom effect to transition. It was really cool.
Can we do it again?
Yeah, let the people see it. Okay.
Well,
yeah, right? That's pretty slick. So shout out to Kevin for that. I also want to give a shout out to Kevin because yesterday, I can't remember if this was during the main show or the post show, but as a bit, I was complaining about how like, oh yeah, we're going to get an Xbox Series X from Xbox at a certain point, and we're probably going to pass it off. We're still trying to figure out like how we're going to go about that. I just brought up casually as a bit, as a funny, I was like, oh, but you know, Xbox Series X, the big thing is 4K. I got a 1080p TV. Like, you know, I'm not really gonna be able to experience it at the full extent. Kevin decides like within like a 10 second window that we're gonna go to the studio, steal the big monitor from the studio.
Oh my
the big
God.
4K monitor and bring it to my apartment.
Dude,
and
it's a good one.
We did it. There is a huge monitor in my living room right now.
Hell yeah, there is.
And it's awesome.
Oh, man. No, dude, that is a nice TV.
Yeah.
Welcome to the future. Bless. The present.
No, it feels great.
You're
it feels great to finally be in the present. Tim, how you been?
I've been real good. You know, I like starting the week with you, ending the week with you. This feels real nice. A little Tim and Blessing sandwich.
Yeah, you know? Tim and Blessing sandwich. You know what else feels mm-hmm. nice?
What?
Video game news. Let's talk about it. Today's stories include Metal Gear coming to PC, Rocket League free to play being a huge success, and Don't Nod opening a new studio, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each new weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show at the patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping, thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach, Mohammed, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Logitech, Klarna, and HelloFresh, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Warp Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today. I'm going to tell you it's a pretty laid-back news day, but kind of exciting for me nonetheless, because our story number one, the Metal Gear series, is hitting PC today.
Oh, yeah.
This is from Gabe Gurwin at GameSpot. The Metal Gear series is hitting PC via GOG, Konami has announced. Previously, only a select few games in the franchise were available outside of consoles. They aren't the only Konami games hitting the service either. Metal Gear, Metal Gear Solid, and Metal Gear Solid 2 Substance were all rated in Taiwan prior to the official announcement. Metal Gear Solid and Substance actually had come to PC before, and Metal Gear Solid 5 was also released for PC. But this should give those who never played on PlayStation or Xbox a chance to experience more of the franchise. Metal Gear Solid 4 Guns of the Patriots remains a PS3 exclusive. The new GOG offerings don't seem to have any enhancements, and you're getting the original Metal Gear Solid rather than the GameCube remake, which I personally prefer. I prefer the original, not necessarily the GameCube remake, is what I'm saying. Substance.
That was not clear.
Yeah, no, when I said it, I realized how unclear that was. Yeah. Substance does feature some enhancements and extra content not found in Metal Gear Solid 2's original release. Releasing as the Konami's collector series, you'll also be able to get 5 Castlevania and Contra games, including Super C, Dracula's Curse, and Simon's Quest. These games originally released on the NES, along with the Metal Gear series, along with the Metal Gear games. The total cost for all Konami's titles is $32. Tim, it's very exciting stuff for people who want to play these games on PC. My one question is, when are we ever going to get Metal Gear Solid 4?
That's the thing.
Anywhere else?
Anywhere besides the PlayStation 3. It's bizarre. Like, I am utterly shocked. Like, back for all the youngins out there, which is crazy that at this point, like, even that era, there's probably a ton of people listening to this right now that don't know what I'm referring to. But when Metal Gear Solid 4 came out, it was the meme game of, when's it going to come to 360? And it's like, oh man, how many discs is it going to have to be on? Like 9? And there was like photoshops of like Xbox 360 cases that are like that thick. With Metal Gear Solid 4 on like 10 million discs. But the fact that it actually never came out on another console is really weird. And I think a lot of it has to do with the whole Kojima, Konami situation that went down around MGS5. But even then, the fact that 4 wasn't like ported at some point.
Do you think it has to do with the architecture of the game? Because like, I know the game was advertised as a PS4 game or a PS3 game. It's kind of synonymous with the launch of that console. And to some extent feels very built into, like, when you're transitioning from chapter to chapter, I remember getting the loading screen of Solid Snake smoking the cigar, and you I believe there are like tips in there to be like, hey, you know, take a break. Like the weird
this
thing
is gonna take
expect,
a while.
Yeah, like this is gonna take a while. Like, hey, you know, relax, you know, take a break between sessions, all that stuff. That stuff seemed very built into like the PS3 system, as far as at least like how the stuff looked. Like, it looked like a PS3 like installation screen as opposed to just an in-game thing. So I wonder if there's something about that game in particular that is tough to port.
I mean, I get that, but also there's been so many PS3 games that have been ported that I don't think that it wouldn't be worth the effort for one of the biggest exclusives on the PS3. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But this whole GOG situation right now, it's a weird assortment of games. Like, cool, more ways to play old games, always a good thing, especially classic games like these. But I don't know that this is, the fact that this is news story number one on Kinda Funny Games Daily, to me, is more of an indication that the PlayStation rumors from a couple days ago that you guys talked about of a Metal Gear Solid remake and all that stuff are not happening.
Really? You think so?
I mean, like, if this is, I feel like the reason that Metal Gear was coming up and in the conversations is because there was talk of a collection. Here's the collection.
Hmm. See, I take this as a possibility that maybe, like, somewhat Konami is trying to gear up for what could be a remake. Like, I think this is in a similar way where we see Horizon Zero Dawn and some PlayStation games coming to PC. I feel like this almost reflects that of, hey, yeah, let's gear up excitement for Metal Gear again. Or, like, let's just drum up the interest and make people talk about it so that when inevitably we come back with Metal Gear Solid 5, or not 5, Metal Gear Solid 6 or Metal Gear Solid Remake or whatever, exclusive to PlayStation, there's that excitement. Even though I'm sure that excitement is going to be there nonetheless, but this at least gets the ball rolling. I don't know. Where are you at? Even despite this news, with the idea of a remake in general, do you think that it's the works, or do you think that's just talk?
I'm going to be honest. I don't think it's in the works. I want that more than anything. And at this point, I can't say shit. The year of dreams turned into the decade of dreams. And at this point, it's just the life of dreams for Tim Geddes. It's like, we're sitting here, like, I just played a Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 remake this year that blew my mind and might be my favorite Tony Hawk game of all time. Like, the fact that that is true, and that a couple years ago I got Crash and Crash Team Racing, it's just like, and we're getting Prince of Persia. I'm like, all right. At some point, I'm going to get everything I want, and I very much want a Metal Gear Solid remake. Mm-hmm. So at some point, it'll probably happen. But I'm mostly interested in the fact that as a industry and community, we've kind of somehow pushed through the Kojima thing where it's like, if we were talking about a Metal Gear remake like 4 years ago, the conversation would be very different. But now that Death Stranding's out, it kind of feels a little bit more like we're all okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, it could still happen.
I think in this context in particular, I'm personally okay with it happening. Like if PlayStation licensed it out from Konami and did it, I'd be for sure okay with it, especially if they had Kojima come out and like give his blessing and be like, hey, you know, PlayStation, they're gonna do a Metal Gear Solid remake. I've seen Blue Point's work with it, if it's Blue Point. I've seen their work on it. The work looks good. I sign off, like, yeah, like go support this thing. I think that is all they need for everybody to be all in. If it was just Konami, if Konami was like, hey, we want to remake Metal Gear Solid 3 and it's just us, I would still play it. Like, especially if they do in the Fox engine, like I'd still be all about it. But
I would
be bummed. Like I would be like, oh, I don't like this. I'm gonna play it because, you know, it's Metal Gear Solid and I love Metal Gear Solid, but
I hope,
you know, that it'd be a bummer to me.
I hope if they mess around with it, like I hope that we do get that tweaked version, you know? Like
Tim, are you seeing what I'm seeing, by the way?
On the stream. Pay attention.
Oh, so shit.
Look at the video stream when Kevin talks.
I was having problems with my video camera. So I was like, what's an alternative? You know?
Pretty cool.
Kevin, I love you.
Yeah,
this is pretty cool.
This is pretty fucking rad.
I'm going to be honest. The transition was a little rough. I liked the idea of it, but it looks pretty amateur. This
is great.
Pro.
Well,
this is
that's great. I have to work on that transition because it's this transition that I'm really excited about. Ready? You watching?
Yeah, let's get it.
We go into the browser. Huh. Wait, hold on. Well, that's weird. Why didn't that work?
For people listening to the audio version.
Right, ready? Focus. All right.
Okay, that's pretty nice.
You need to work on it. I forget the word for it, but there's a curve necessary, key point.
I know, yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, but I like the idea. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we're making progress here. Again, for people listening to just the audio version, right? Every time Kevin talks, there's a waveform on screen that reminds me of like Power Rangers. They're talking to like the machine, and the machine talks back.
Yeah,
like that sort of thing. That's what it feels like.
Sorry, and then, my point.
But the colors are great, Kev.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I specifically chose that. Yeah, I mean, I also did this, but it's not perfect for what I want. Hold on, where is it? So I figured out my camera, and now I'm made out of like.
God.
Can you see my eyes?
I hate this. This is Cortana, Kevin. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Sorry. To get back to what I was saying, I really hope that like if we ever get a remake, that it's a remake that where they change things up like they did with Final Fantasy VII. I haven't played Final Fantasy VII. I don't know how much they changed up. But, like, the idea of Psycho Mantis being like, now remove your PS2. Wait, what? You know, that seems so cool.
No, I mean,
go for it, Bless.
I'm with you. I think that's where things start to get messy in terms of how fans would perceive it. If you, like, start to change things up in a remake that Hideo Kojima isn't involved in, I think people would riot. I think people would not like that.
I buy that. And that sucks. I want him to be involved. I want nothing more than for Blue Point to be making a remake of Metal Gear Solid with Kojima involved.
Oh my God.
That does the Final Fantasy VII remake thing.
Could you imagine?
It would be insane. Insane.
I'd be freaking out. And like, I'm of two minds with it because, yes, I personally 1,000% want that. But on the other hand, I'm like, I know Kojima probably doesn't want to do that. Kojima's like has been done with Metal Gear Solid forever, and it feels like he keeps getting roped back into it. And I know, like deep down, he probably just wants to work on his own thing, like his own weird indie episodic projects. But God, if they announced that, I'd be all over it.
What we want should matter too.
And here's the
thing. You're right.
Zero Syndicate.
Were you just wobbling?
Zero Syndicate in the chat says, I think you give too much power to Kojima, and I think someone could add to Metal Gear Solid. And I'm gonna be freaking real. I totally agree with that in this sense, where I think that we might have hit a point that Metal Gear Solid means so much to people that getting a creative take from someone else might actually be a better thing than him going back and
it would have to be a name, though. Like, it would have to be either someone we know and trust or like a new like prodigy type situation where Kojima is like, hey, this is the next voice, this is the next Kojima, and I've been like, you know, not training them, but essentially like mentoring them, and I trust them.
I've been training them. He's fucking
No. I don't think it's the name. I think it's names. It's Blue Point Games. It is them. We've seen them be able to make remakes that are fantastic and stand next to the originals. What if they were to tweak it? What if they were to add their own ideas? I believe in Blue Point.
I'd like to see what they would do with that. I feel like Metal Gear Solid would be a big undertaking for their first shot at that, but I'd be totally down to see.
It's a small game.
But it's big in the hearts of people, though. Like, it is a small game. But like, it means so much to people that I'd prefer them do that with like a Ratchet and Clank or like something that I think we'd be more open to. And then once they prove our trust,
it has to be Metal Gear. It has to be something. That's how they gain that level of like that would take Blue Point into that the big dog conversation. Like that could be like their Horizon conversation. Mm. Right.
I mean, I think you're right. Yeah. Like, I think that'd be incredible, but that'd just be like such a nerve wracking first project to try and do in that way. But I see what you're saying of like, that's their breakout success. And that's what puts them on that S tier level. Mm-hmm. Even though I already see them there, like they're already killing it with Demon's Souls and Shadow of Colossus. And so we'll have to see what happens with Metal Gear Solid. But Tim, we do know what has happened with Rocket League. Story number two, Rocket League free to play is a huge hit. This is Marie De Alessandri at gamesindustry.biz. Rocket League has passed 1 million concurrent players for the first time in its history. The milestone was announced by Psyonix co-studio head Corey Davis on Twitter yesterday and comes just one day after the title switch to free-to-play. It also coincided with the launch of a major update, which included the release of its first battle pass, the Rocket Pass. It also included weekly and seasonal challenges and several cosmetic items. According to Steam charts, Rocket League's previous record for concurrent players was 119,124 players. Let me repeat that. Their current record right now is, or not even current, like they've passed 1 million concurrent players, like as of yesterday. Their previous concurrent record on Steam was 119,000 as of March 2020. Psyonix's intention to go free-to-play with Rocket League was announced this July, also revealing that the game had exceeded 75 million players. The free-to-play switch coincided with the title's launch on the Epic Games Store, a move that was expected since Epic acquired the studio last year. Tim.
Wow.
Yeah.
Video games are insane, man. Like, the power that some of these big business decisions can make is so crazy to look at and see, and like how things can change and things can shift, and you got to look at the leaders. You got to look at the people that are doing it first, the people that are doing it right, the people that are iterating. It's like there's so many interesting things, and like this reminds me a lot of Apex Legends coming out, where it was like up until that point, we've never seen a shadow drop game like that on that scale. Like the closest thing I can even think of before that was PT, and that's a demo that came out, right? Where it's like this thing was just randomly announced, and here you could play it today. But this is the type of thing where when you look at Rocket League, they've consistently made business decisions that are now looked at as viable options for the industry. When they were on PlayStation Plus, that was such a huge moment for them that proved the value of PlayStation Plus. And I think a lot of people going into that would have been like, why would you go there? You're going to lose out on so many sales. But the reality of it is it's the perfect type of game to get people hooked, to sell even more copies than anyone could have ever imagined, right? And now this type of thing of Rocket League, now looking at a lot of the other guys that have went free to play and seeing like how that all works, they're looking at it like, we're that type of game too. We should probably be doing that because that best serves the community that we've built up over the last couple of years. And it also serves the community that they're trying to build and maintain for the next forever. Good on them, man.
Good on them. No, this is really impressive. This is, again, like it is so impressive to follow Rocket League's success over the years because, yeah, to what you're saying, they launched on PS Plus, blew up, everybody loves them, get bought by Epic, go free to play, and now they're bigger than they've ever been. And like that's really impressive to see the shift from being a paid game to free to play and seeing this type of success like way post launch. Like it's been 5 years since Rocket League came out, and like to get this new wave of success on this volume is wild and makes me wonder what the future for the game looks like. Me and Imran talked a little bit about it in an episode earlier this week. Imran kind of floated the idea of, hey, what if they treated this like Fortnite? Like, what if we saw events that were similar to Fortnite events in terms of crossovers, in terms of like marketing deals that, hey, what if you went to a drive-in to watch Tenet or whatever in Rocket League? I mean, that's not beyond the realm of possibility now, you know, with mm-hmm. where they're at. And so shout out to them. Like, it's really cool to see.
Totally.
Story number three. Don't Nod is opening a new studio. This is Jordan Ramey at GameSpot. Life is Strange developer Don't Nod Entertainment has announced that it has opened a new Montreal-based studio to, quote, work on a brand new IP. The new studio will be led by executive producer Luc Bagadoust and creative director Michael Cook, or Michelle Cook. Quote, with the formation of a new team on another continent, we are writing a new page of Don't Nod's history, Cook said. It's also a new beginning for new characters and original stories that we hope will touch and inspire many players around the world. End quote. This is really cool. Like, I feel like we're talking a lot this episode about studios that we love between Bluepoint and Psyonix. And yeah, throw Don't Nod in there. Like, them forming a new studio is big for them. They just put out Tell Me Why. They're about to put out Twin Mirror. They put out Life is Strange. Like, they've been killing it over this last generation. And seeing that they're able to open up a new studio to work on a new IP is just more exciting for them. So shout out to that.
Yeah, cool seeing them do good stuff. And like, I know you've been a huge fan of them. Bless. So
yeah.
More.
Have you ever tried out any of their games?
Mm-mm.
Are you not like a adventure game narrative?
Not so much. In theory, I should be, but like, I've never really enjoyed them that much, and I haven't played too many of them. But even giving Walking Dead a shot, I was just like, there's something about this that I'd rather. This is too close to watching a movie. I'd rather just watch a movie.
I'd like to see you try out Life is Strange, because I feel like if any of these games are gonna get you, I feel like Life is Strange is gonna be the one, because the story is really the use of Hella.
Like, that definitely almost won me over back in the day. But maybe we gotta get to try a stream. Me and you playing through, making decisions together.
That'd be a fun time. I'm down for it. Let's do it. It's a date. Story number four. We got another Sony patent. This time it's Inside Out VR tracking. This is Jordan Alleman at IGN.
Excuse you?
Wait, what'd I say?
I don't know. It's Inside Out VR tracking.
Oh, yeah.
Nasty.
Yeah, I'm kind of into it. A Sony patent has been found suggesting that the next iteration of PlayStation VR will feature Inside Out tracking and new finger-freeing controllers similar to Oculus. The patent documentation was found by Let's Go Digital and can be read in full if, I guess, you go to their website. The images supplied suggest that this new headset will feature inside-out tracking, meaning there will be no need for an external camera to track your hand movements. It'll all be taken care of by the headset and a sensor within the controllers. This is the approach used by many popular VR headsets, such as the Oculus Quest and the Oculus Rift S. The controllers seen in the patent also differ drastically from the PlayStation Move Wands currently used with PSVR. Instead, they bear resemblance to Valve's groundbreaking Knuckles controllers, which free up the user's hands and allow for individual finger tracking. I'm giggling because when I say Knuckles controllers, my mind immediately went to Knuckles, the Echidna.
I love you. I love you, Bless.
And like, I was like, oh, shit.
I went too long working at Kind of Funny, not having somebody show Sonic the Hedgehog the goddamn respect that he deserves. Him and his friends. All of his goddamn friends.
Could you imagine like a Sonic game coming out with some Knuckles controllers, though? Like, I'd play the mess out of that.
Why not?
Like, you know, a boxing game?
Collector's edition. Let's go.
Let's go. I don't know. Does this do anything for you?
No. Like, it's a weird thing for me with PlayStation VR in particular, where I have always been impressed and shocked that they have committed to it as hard as they have. I thought that it was going to die out a lot sooner than it did, it hasn't yet, but I thought it was going to a lot sooner. And even this year, like, with their commitment with Iron Man VR, and granted, this year was a weird one, and like, so many of plans got pushed out and back and all that, but they really have committed to this. I just don't know. I don't see a PSVR 2 ever happening. And because of that, I don't really see them adding new tech to PSVR 1 that I don't see this going anywhere. It's, I guess, what I'm saying. Like, I don't think they're going to give up support of PSVR anytime soon, but I don't think they're going to double down because I don't think that the money's there.
I heard what you're saying. I I think they're still thinking about it. Like, when it comes to Sony patents, I feel like we get one a month at this point, and most of them never come to fruition. And so I take everything with a grain of salt. But I think this is at least evidence that they're still thinking about the technology and still trying to figure out what to do with it. I, as the months go, become more and more curious on what a PSVR 2 could look like and how that would benefit Sony. Because, again, to what you're saying, very impressed that they have put in the amount of support that they have already into PSVR. Like, it is not a Vita situation where they're just like, fuck it, we don't know what to do with this. Well, we'll just let third parties do their thing and forget it exists. Like, no, currently PlayStation is still paying attention to VR and still treating it with care, right? At least with the release of Iron Man VR. And like a huge year we got for VR, like within the last 2 years, I'll say. But yeah, the more and more we go, the more and more I'm like, all right, so like PS5 is about to come out and it all focuses on that right now. As Sony, how much focus do you want to allocate to PSVR and putting in software to PSVR and putting hardware focus into PSVR and trying to launch PSVR 2? What does the timeline look like for PSVR 2? Is it 2021? Is that too soon? Like, what are the decisions?
No way. I mean, if it happens, it's 2022.
Yeah. And is that too far away? Like, because right now, there's not really anything exciting on the slate for PSVR. And I assume that's mainly because all focus is on PS5.
Totally, totally. But I mean, there is exciting stuff for PSVR. I would say that one of the most exciting PSVR things ever was Resident Evil 7. And now Resident Evil 8 is
true. Coming and there's PSVR. Hitman VR.
Star Wars Squadrons as well. Like, I think that there's a lot of stuff happening that like makes PSVR a very viable platform. When you look at it, like you brought up the Vita, I think the difference is they're supporting it from the Sony side down and they're pushing for the third party side up. Mm-hmm. It's like Vita didn't really see that, you know, whereas PSVR, it's like Star Wars and Resident Evil getting like pretty consistent support on PSVR is awesome. Yeah. In addition to things like Iron Man VR.
I think also from the hardware side, that's where I start to be like, all right, what really is the move here? Because after getting an Oculus Quest and after using it pretty regularly, it's been really difficult for me to go back to PSVR and feel the same way about it. Like before I tried Oculus Quest, I was in love with PSVR. And I'm to some extent, I still am, because I think PSVR has just an amazing software library. Like they've really nailed it on the software side, especially with the first party stuff from Iron Man VR. To Beat Saber, to Blood and Truth, to Tetris Effect, to Astrobot Rescue Mission. Like the library there is very strong. Mm-hmm. On the hardware side, like especially looking at this patent, right, and like seeing the things that they seem to be thinking about. Like I don't necessarily think that the external camera is ideal, and so if they are going to do PSVR 2, I would like it to be inside out tracking. I would like them to transition from the Move controllers to something more akin to what we see with the Knuckles controllers, not Sonic the Hedgehog's Knuckles. But again, like at a certain point, does that become too burdensome for Sony? Like is making the attempts to make this the ideal piece of hardware just not worth it at a certain point? Like that's what my question becomes for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's one of those things where we'll have to wait and see. If they come out in a year or so and they're like, hey, introducing PSVR 2 and it looks dynamically different and it looks improved and it looks like even a step up from what Oculus is doing, I'm gonna be blown away. I'm gonna be very excited and blown away, but I almost feel like that's asking for too much.
We'll see.
We shall see. Story number 5, Krafton is merging with PUBG Corp. This is Brendan Sinclair at gamesindustry.biz. PUBG Corp parent company Krafton today announced that the two entities would be merging, with Krafton consolidating PUBG Corp's publishing and support teams into its own operation. The PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds development team will be left to operate as part of Krafton's system of fully owned independent studios when the merger takes effect later this year. Quote, in order to create premier gameplay experiences, we believe that each of our studios should build their own unique creative identity, Krafton CEO Kim Cheng Han said. PUBG Corp was originally formed by Krafton, then Bluehole, in 2017. After the runaway success of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, the parent company created the subsidiary to handle all of the development, publishing, and global business opportunities related to the game, saying that that structure, quote, allows us to be nimble as we look towards the expansion of strategic business opportunities that include the game's potential in the esports sector and the growth of PUBG as a true global IP franchise, end quote. That's the most businessy, markety thing you could ever say. Kim was the original CEO of PUBG Corp and took over the CEO role at Krafton in March. And so very newsy news that I figured I should include for the show. But cool. I didn't realize Blue Hole renamed to Krafton.
Good on them, right?
Yeah. Good on them.
There's certain things that shouldn't have made it past the idea phase, and Blue Hole is one of them.
Yeah. And yeah, like I remember them being like, okay, PUBG Corp's gonna be its own thing now. I wonder what is the thing that truly is prompting them to merge back in. I wonder if PUBG is just not the thing it was before, and if that's like that was the move, right? Like PUBG is still somewhat active. People are still playing it. I'm sure it's still very active in esports and stuff, but it's not the phenomenon that it was in 2017. And so I wouldn't be surprised if after a certain amount of time, they're like, all right, cool. We don't necessarily need a separate entity for this anymore. We can just merge into one and go about business as usual. But there you go. Last news story for the day. Story number 6. A Yakuza movie is coming. This is from Dave McNary at Variety. Sega is developing a live-action adaptation from its Yakuza video game franchise with 1212 Entertainment and Wild Sheep content, Variety has learned exclusively. Yakuza is Sega's best-selling franchise after Sonic the Hedgehog. The game was first released on PS2 in 2005 and has since grown into a global franchise with an additional 7 main title sequels and 8 spin-off titles on all major gaming platforms. Quote, Yakuza offers us a new playground in which to set compelling stories with complex characters in a unique environment that audiences have rarely seen before, 1212 said. They continue, the saga of Kazuma Kiryu has a built-in cinematic appeal, a mix of kinetic action with bursts of comedy, multiple converging storylines, and a gripping journey towards redemption, end quote. Tim, 2 questions. 1, how do you feel about this? 2, did you know what Yakuza was the second best-selling franchise from Sega after Sonic the Hedgehog?
I did not, but it's not that surprising when you think about it, when you start to just do the math on simply how many Yakuza titles there have been.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that starts to add up, and like, Sega doesn't have that many franchises that hit that level of installments. And the installments that people actually enjoy and like, and, you know, people are still looking forward to those games. But yeah, this is interesting. What's very exciting to me is that this gives us another opportunity to see that dope-ass Sega movie intro that they had before Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh yeah.
So I'm definitely down for that. A Sega cinematic universe. Oh yeah.
Could you imagine that crossover?
Oh,
like,
man.
Sonic and the Yakuza, like the entire Yakuza just join forces to take down Eggman. I'm all about that.
I saw that Imran was really excited about this on Twitter, so that's good.
Cool. Yeah. This is definitely
full thumbs up.
I saw quite a few people getting super excited about this, and like, that's awesome. I want to see a Persona movie. If Sega's going to be making, I don't know, like, if it's Atlas or Sega that truly owns Persona. Like, I've not necessarily looked into that. Well,
doesn't Sega own Atlas? It's Sega Atlas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I figured it surprised me that Persona isn't the second best selling Sega franchise after Sonic.
I think it's a sheer numbers game. And I also don't think Persona sells that well. Remember, Persona 4 Golden was a Vita game. So
true. Okay, that's true. Like,
even if it sold extremely well, it still couldn't have sold that much, you know?
But if we're bringing in, like, the dancing games, and we're also bringing... And this is going to be okay, something kind of funny.com.
Spinoffs do count. They're saying for Yakuza, so...
Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. There's a technicality that I'm missing here. But yeah, if you bring in, like, the dancing games, and you bring in Persona 5, but then on top of that, Royal, and the fighting games, and all that stuff, and maybe at a certain point, like, maybe some of those games don't count because
Imran's in the chat right now, and he's saying pre-Royal, Nier Automata outsold Persona.
Really? That can't be right.
Also, like, there's 3 anime series and a movie for Persona.
Oh, I do know about the anime series. Wait, there's a movie for Persona? For which one? Because I'm going to rent that. I'm going to check that out, man.
I love the excitement.
I'm all about it. Tim, I'm really excited to see what the Yakuza movie ends up being and if it's something that really satisfies the Yakuza fan base, but the movie's release is probably so far away. Mm-hmm. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform and listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Kevin, I thought we weren't doing this anymore. I thought this was just for Tim. Kevin's doing a lot today, and you know what? I don't mind it.
Have you looked at the TV at all?
Oh yeah, dude, I was playing on it last night.
What'd you think? It's funny. Bro, how are you not gonna bring that up?
So the game I played on it, I should have played like a Horizon or a Spider-Man.
Super Meat Boy.
Or dude,
and
I played
beautiful.
Played 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim on it. And let me tell you, that game looks great. But that's more of an art style thing that I don't know if it's really taking full advantage of the 4K HDR now. But I'm excited to play more on it. I need to boot up Spider-Man or something. I don't know. Tim, do you have a game you recommend for my first 4K experience?
For that TV, Spider-Man's a good one.
You don't want to go with God of War?
God of War's a good one, too.
I could boot up God of War.
Go with Spider-Man. You have to see Spider-Man. The sunset. That's Spider-Man.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to start off with Spider-Man. I'll make my way to God of War. I'm going to then make my way to Horizon Zero Dawn. And then I'm going to jump back into 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim. Out today, we got Panzer Dragoon Remake for PC, Jet Set Knights for Switch, Troll Hunters, Defenders of Arcadia for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Port Royale 4 for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Mafia Definitive Edition for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, Nexomon Extinction for Xbox One, Shotgun Farmers for Xbox One. Kevin, I want to know what Shotgun Farmers is. Realm of Altars for PC and Mac. Tech Pack for PC. Beetle Quest for PC and Mac. Neon Fusion for PC. Saint Hum for PC and Mac. Car Driving School Simulator for Switch. And then Dead by Daylight has an update. Cheryl Mason's Sybil Bennett set is now available in the store. And then new dates for you. You can find Spooky Surprises with Animal Crossing New Horizons fall update arriving on September 30th. And then Mortal Shell Physical Edition has been delayed from October 2nd to October 23rd. Kevin, how are you looking for Shotgun Farmers? It's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, what it sounds like, yeah.
They have corn weapons. That was an asparagus sniper. He missed his shot. Whoa, that's an interesting mechanic. He missed his shot, which put a seed in the ground. Yep, and now he's got the
and it grows
launcher.
A new gun.
Whoa.
Holy shit. So for people
farmers
listening, right?
Cowboys, okay.
It's a first-person shooter. It's very stylized, colorful. The characters almost look like Miis, but they do have arms. Wait, and they're running around.
It's just a little disturbing.
They don't have arms. They got hands.
Oh, yeah, they don't have arms.
Wait, but Tim, you said something interesting right now. You said farmers and cowboys.
Here's the thing. I know that sounds very stupid.
Well, it's just one of those things.
I thought about it. But look, see, here's the thing. I need to explain myself. Yes, obviously, farmers, cowboys go together more than you'd think when you just
don't think about the cow and cowboys.
Exactly. That's it. You don't often think about the cow and cowboys. But what I meant to say was more about the Western side of it. It was like that looked like a very, you know, Western cowboy vibe.
But no, my question is, are cowboys farmers?
Yeah, right.
Right?
I think it's like a soccer is a sport, but a sport doesn't necessarily need to be a cowboy. Whereas, like, I lost what I was going. I don't even know what point I'm trying to make here when it comes to the cowboys.
Because, like, how do you define a farmer?
The cow and cow.
How do you define a headline? That's just the headline.
Some people in the chat, someone said rancher, and I'm not going to lie, that person sounds dumb to me. Like, is a rancher not a farmer?
How do you define farmer is my question. Because cowboys, they be chilling with them horses.
Okay, hold on. We need to go back. What is a cowboy?
He for sure rides a horse, right? He for sure rides a horse.
Because, what comes to your mind when you say cowboy?
I've never thought about cowboys this much.
There's some fundamental flaws. when you think about a cowboy, what comes to mind? A dude in a hat, riding a horse, gunslinging, John Marston from Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, but that's an outlaw. You're thinking about an outlaw.
But is he not also a cowboy?
No, he's not moving around cows for money, right?
But is that what a cowboy is?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm Googling that. I can't.
I believe a cowboy maybe, and I'm throwing this out
the
there.
Dallas Cowboys the got way less cool, let me tell you.
People are throwing around. It seems like cowboys are ranchers and that fuck with cows. Not like actual sex, but like, you know, deal with them.
Yeah, that like they mess with cows. I'm on Wikipedia right now for cowboy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, not ranchers.
Fun fact, ranch hand redirects here, which I didn't expect.
Wait, so a cowboy is a ranch hand? Or is
a or maybe ranch a ranch hand is a cowboy.
I have a cowboy. Feeling, I have a according feeling that a cowboy is a specialized ranch hand.
According to Wikipedia, a cowboy is an animal herder who tends cattle on ranches in North America, traditionally on horseback, and often performs a multitude of other ranch-related tasks. So yes, cowboys are farmers. But where do the guns?
Well, we don't have confirmation of that.
Where did
the other ranch-related tasks?
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily include farming. Which, although I will argue, I can't think of many other tasks you're doing on a farm / ranch. What's the difference between a farm and a ranch?
I'm sorry, that was going to be my question. I was a little embarrassed, if I'm being honest.
Okay, so a farmer, according to dictionary.com, is a person who owns or manages a farm. Thank you, dictionary.com, for nothing. I'm looking up farm.
There's a couple of people in the chat that are like, oh. A cowboy just herds cows, and it's like that's all they do. Like, do they do that for their like?
But then where the guns come in?
These motherfuckers, literally, all they do is herd cows, and they're some of the most popular genres of movies of all time.
That's what I'm saying. You're not going to tell me that like they own. That's their main responsibility. And one, they have a whole genre. Two, whenever I think of a cowboy, I think of an outlaw riding into town. Two guns, bam, bam, going to a bar.
You understand that you're thinking of an outlaw, right? Like, that's clear to you,
are they
right?
not one and the same?
I mean, no, I don't think so. I think they were just around the same time.
Outlaws are cowboys' enemies.
No, wait, is that right? No. The outlaw's enemy is the sheriff and the sheriff's department. Deputies. Sheriffs and deputies. a sheriff is much like a zombie. He can make deputies. As many deputies as he wants, you know?
Oh, shoot.
Let's get to that. The reader mail.
Yeah. Before I get there, deal of the day. The Last of Us Day kicks off tomorrow, September 26th. Get a preview of the new limited edition collectibles, digital content sales, and more launching today and through the weekend on NaughtyDog.com. Now it is time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by NZXT. Tim, tell me about NZXT.
I'll tell you all about it, ladies and gentlemen. Andy and I both received some NZXT computers. We've been using them. I am so stoked to use mine for Cyberpunk when it comes out in a couple months. NZXT build and the new $699 NZXT starter PC is a perfect first gaming PC that's well-rounded for school and work, and it looks super dope. The starter makes achieving 60 frames per second on popular titles like Fortnite and Rainbow Six Siege a breeze. It's easily upgradable so your PC can grow as your needs change. It's all backed by a 2-year warranty, and there's a FPS guarantee for peace of mind on reliability and performance. You can learn more at letsbuild.com. That's letsbuild.com. For a limited time, if you use the code KFG for a free NZXT puck with purchase on a new NZXT pre-built machine, like the starter PC, the puck must be added to your cart before purchase for the discounts to apply. But then you get it. Check out the link in the description. Again, that's NZXT.co. Sorry. It's letsbuild.com. LETSBLD.com. Promo code KFG. Link in the description is a different link. It sends you to the same place, but you get what it is. NZXT is dope. Go for it, Lex.
What it is. We're also brought to you by Logitech. Logitech has been my go-to for a long time when it comes to gaming headsets, and their Pro X Wireless Lightspeed gaming headset is a game changer. Based on the award-winning Pro gaming headset design, Pro X Wireless headset features high-quality materials, advanced communications, precision audio, and total wireless freedom. It's a high-performance Pro X gaming headset with Lightspeed wireless technology and up to 20-plus hours of battery life. It also features a detachable Pro-grade microphone featuring real-time Blue Voice technology, including passive noise isolation, compressor limiter, and more clean professional voice comms. It doesn't stop there, as there's also the advanced Pro G 50mm drivers, which deliver clear and precise sound imaging with improved bass response. Hear footsteps and environmental cues with clarity to give you the competitive advantage. You can also experience this headset's supreme comfort and durability. For a limited time, Logitech G is offering our listeners 10% off select products at logitechg.com. Use code KFGAMES for 10% off today. That's 10% off select Logitech G products with promo code KFGAMES. We're also brought to you by Klarna. Thanks to Klarna for supporting Kinda Funny Games Daily in Sweden. They don't shop, they Klarna. Klarna is a revolutionary new online shopping app from Sweden that allows you to shop thousands of online stores and pay for anything in 4 easy interest-free payments that make shopping smoother. With the Klarna app, you can shop anywhere online from the one app. It's easy to use, even if you're a cowboy, and convenient to browse thousands of online stores from one convenient place. Pay for anything in 4 interest-free payments. Paying after delivery allows you to try before you buy, and you can also report returns directly in the app. Get the best deals with customized price drop alerts on the items you save to your wish list. It's always good to shop smarter and save money. Create and share wish lists of items with friends and family anywhere online. It's a fun, easy way to show off what kind of products you like. Tim loves how easy it is to find what you're looking for and get set up. Klarna is a smoother, friendlier, Swedisher way to shop online. Is the one-stop shopping app for browsing and buying anything online, all in one app, and allows you to pay for anything for easy interest-free payments. Download the Klarna app today. That's K-L-A-R-N-A, Swedish for shopping. Lastly, we're brought to you by HelloFresh. Are you a cowboy? Do you go out and ranch and eat the animals, you know, do all that good stuff? Let me tell you, there's an easier way to do it. You can get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh lets you skip those trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. Kind of Funny loves HelloFresh. Tim says Gia made him a pork ragu recently, and damn, son, that's what he said. Damn, son. HelloFresh. HelloFresh offers convenient delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow and quick to make with simple steps and pictures to guide you along the way. HelloFresh offers so many delicious options every week to help you break out of your recipe rut and try new things. There's something for everyone, including low-calorie, vegetarian, and kid-friendly recipes. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying, which is a burden on the planet and your wallet. The packaging HelloFresh uses to ship your food is almost entirely made from recyclable and or already recycled content. Keep your fridge stocked by adding extra proteins or sides like garlic bread or to your weekly order. HelloFresh is committed to making fresh, delicious food available now more than ever and has taken extra steps to keep its employees and customers safe, including contactless delivery, tamper-proof packaging, and team member wellness checks. Go to HelloFresh.com/games80 and use code games80 to get a total of $80 off your first month, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. Remember, that's HelloFresh.com/games80 and use code games80 to get a total of $80 off your first month. Tim, as I was doing that ad read, I was thinking to myself,
yeah,
Cowboys versus Pirates. Where do I stand? I've mentioned before on the show, I don't fuck with Pirates. I don't mess with Pirates. I don't like them.
Nah, they suck.
Cowboys, I definitely put higher than that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Ninjas. We're so uneducated on the Cowboys.
The idea of a cowboy sitting there being like, there has to be an easier way. Fresh. Very good.
Hello, Fresh. Have you played some Red Dead Redemption 2 or Red Dead Redemption period?
Yes, one, yes, two.
And like, assuming John Marston counts as a cowboy, even though at this point I don't know, maybe he's just an outlaw. Well, you heard some stuff in that game, or am I thinking Twilight Princess?
I feel like at some point he might have been a cowboy. Like, I could see him like.
In fact, that might be spoilers. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh right.
For Red Dead Redemption 1.
Well, it's too far. There's a window.
Spoilers for Red Dead Redemption 1. I think towards the end you become a cowboy.
Oh well, okay. Do we like the fire?
Cowman. No.
No?
No, this is very concerning.
No?
There are many people listening to Kevin on screen right now and is burning to death.
I mean, obviously it's too much. That's what I'm about.
Wait, are you disintegrating at the same time?
Yeah, I think so. I think the smoke's breaking me apart a little bit. I can mess with the settings at some point. I don't want to do it now. I might break everything.
I got a question here from Warzen00, who writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, to get your question read on the show, and says, good morning, Blessing and Tim. Amazon yesterday threw their hat into the game streaming ring, and oh boy, they might have killed Google Stadia in the process. According to Jeff Grubb, Luna basically runs Windows and requires very little code porting to make it run in their cloud, where with Stadia, it takes a lot. This will provide developers a quick and easy way to bring their games to Luna. However, is this sustainable? I know Amazon makes money hand over fist, but Windows licensing, even at this scale, is a huge investment, and mixing that with Amazon's lackluster entrance into gaming in general makes me question the longevity of Amazon's commitment. While this could kill Stadia, should we also be concerned this might also die off as well? Thanks, Borzen00.
Yeah.
I guess, like, I mean, Amazon is the company with a lot of money. And I when it comes to the Luna situation, like, my whole take on it is, you know, we'll see how this plays out. I think yesterday my immediate reaction as this news was breaking on the show, and I was kind of putting the pieces together in my head, my first reaction, and I still stick by it, is, oh man, like, how does Stadia come back from this? Because right now, there are so many deals that are better than Stadia. And so, yeah, to Borzen00, to that part of your question, I don't think there's much Stadia can do to really capture the hearts and minds of people at this point. As far as Luna and their sustainability and how what we should expect from them, and like, Amazon, I'm very iffy with when it comes to them breaking into the game space. And that's mainly because we've seen them try this year and just not have success. Like, Crucible came out and I think got unreleased, which I had never seen before. Like, with exceptions of like got PT and unreleased. Stuff like that. Yeah, like, that was a thing that happened. They put out a game and then unreleased it. Their MMO, Something World, I can't think of the name of it, but like, I know like very few people that are excited for it. Even those people are like, I don't know, I'm excited to try it out. I can't think of the name of it. I don't know why. I want to say True World, but I think I'm mixing that up with something else. I'm looking up right now. Amazon MMO. New World.
Say New World.
New World. Thank you. Even that, like, I find it hard to be excited for it, and I'm not finding that many people that are excited for it. That said, yeah, like, Luna has some promising ideas. I really like the subscription stuff in it. But again, it's going to be like a wait and see situation of how this really, really pans out.
Dude, like most things like this, I feel like so much of it's just an education process of people wrapping their heads around it and it becoming a mainstream idea. The concept of streaming games in a Netflix style is still so foreign. At least the sentence I just said explains what it is so people can kind of understand it. But until it actually just works that well and it is that simple, which I think Game Pass and xCloud are going to get closest to, and maybe with Luna, then that conversation, I think, is going to happen on a mainstream level. But until then, I think that you even look back a couple of years ago and it's like, okay, Netflix had its transition from being a mail service to what we think of now as Netflix, which is like almost a verb when you're talking about watching something. And then we look at Amazon, and I think that even Amazon suffered with the messaging of Prime Video versus just getting a video on Amazon. You know, like, if you have Prime, you get video and there's Amazon Originals and all that stuff, but you can also rent movies and you can also buy movies that aren't part of that whole thing. And I feel like it hasn't been until recently that that's narrative's kind of changed, where people, like, normal people understand it. Add Twitch to it, add all the other stuff. There's just so many elements going on with Amazon. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of money in Amazon. There's a lot of money in Google. Both of them being in this race are going to force each other to try to be better. And we've seen that now in pretty much any of the different industries that Amazon and Google have tried to get into. Even yesterday, Kev, Amazon announced all their new smart home slate. And it's like, you compare that to what Google's doing, it's like Google's just sitting on their laurels right now, not updating shit.
Bro, but no one, like, needs a drone that's going to fly through their house.
Don't say stupid things, Kevin. But
you're right. I'm sorry.
You see this, Bless?
No.
Amazon yesterday announced their new security camera, It's a drone that when there's motion in your house when you're not there, it'll go find the motion and like record things for you. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. That's like some Splinter Cell type shit.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. But here's the thing. We don't need that. Obviously, that's so stupid and such a joke.
You don't need that.
I say
that sounds awesome. I'm gonna get there one day to where I buy that thing. And it's going to be floating around my small apartment.
There are certain places where Amazon is doubling down and winning. There's certain places where Google's doubling down and winning. But I think that both of them doing the things is good for the competition of all of it, right? But at the end of the day, I still don't think that these things are going to hit that mainstream level until there's a proven, viable success story. And I think that Game Pass and xCloud are the closest thing to be able to do that in the minds and hearts of the mainstream. But even they have a real tough uphill battle to get over that hump.
Well, that's my thing is, I feel like I don't know how any of these services can stack up to xCloud, especially with it being bundled into Xbox Game Pass, because it really is, xCloud is an added benefit to that. Like, it's not a situation where Microsoft is putting all its cards into game streaming. Like, no, you have the option, right? If I'm somebody without a console, if I'm somebody that just wants to play a video game and I have to choose between Stadia or Luna or xCloud, I feel like xCloud is the natural decision. One, because I get that library, but then also, like, I can make the transition to getting a box and just have those games and have my saves and play these games the way they're meant to be played natively on the box, as opposed to just streaming them. Like, the it's hard for me to want to be fully confident in game streaming when the experience, I feel like, just isn't there. Like, and I feel like we're somewhat far for the experience getting to that place where it needs to be for it to be a thing that across the board we all agree is great and a viable way to play games regularly. Like, the lag is just too much. The technical issues there are just enough to where I'm like, no. With xCloud, I at least have the option to make that transition to buying a box and having that library still. And I think with that, like, I don't see a viable option unless Amazon or Stadia, like, really come out and put out some great deals, like great bundles, great subscriptions, great libraries. But even then, like, it's really hard to rival what Xbox has with Game Pass and Game Pass's library now that it does have Bethesda and all those first party games along with all the third party games on there. Like, it's just it feels like an impossible thing to rival. Like, I don't know how anybody can do it.
Yeah. We'll see.
Now it's time to squad up. Rocket Guardian wrote in with a squad up on Steam and says, hey guys, with next gen coming up, I'm looking for some friends to play Left 4 Dead 2 this weekend. It's a whole whopping $2 on Steam. Haven't played this game in years. I'll be around Saturday night and Sunday if anyone would like to jump in. You can find me on Steam at Rocket Guardian, that is Rocket Guardian, all one word, and Discord at Rocket Guardian #6709. I know it's a pound sign, but at this point, I'm just going to call it a hashtag. Rocket Guardian, #6709. You can add them on Discord if you want to play with them. Now it is time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Let's see here. Ignacio Rojas says you can play Metal Gear Solid 4 on PS4 with PS Now, which I didn't know. Fascinating. It's cool. Drew Tendo 64 says for blessing the Persona movies are Persona 3 the movie number one, Spring of Birth, Persona 3 the movie, Midsummer Night's Dream. He lists all the Persona 3 movies, which I appreciate. I haven't played Persona 3 still, and so I'm probably not gonna watch them, but like, I appreciate it. People are giving me recommendations for 4K HDR, which I appreciate. A lot of people are giving some cowboy clarification.
I'm going to call it slander. I'm going to say that no one here knows anything about a cowboy.
I mean, RHD16 here mentions that a farm is crops, the ranch is animals. And so, like, cowboys aren't farmers, they're ranchers, is basically what he's saying.
But
and I can buy that.
What if you have both? I feel like in
movies, if you have both?
They have both all the time.
They do have both in the movies.
And you know what? Like, my parents, this is very inside baseball for my life, I guess. My parents owned a pig farm back in the day, and we called it a farm.
It was a pig farm. It wasn't a pig ranch.
Yeah, it was a pig farm, not a pig ranch. And so I don't know.
I'm seeing some fucking holes in these people's explanations, you know?
Yeah.
I love this.
Ignacio Rojas says, John Marston is definitely a cowboy. He has a ranch. Yeah.
But how many cows does he need to have? You know what I mean?
I mean, for it to be a ranch? Wait, is that what you're asking, Kevin?
No, like, well, how many cows? Be a cowboy.
I don't think a cowboy needs any cows.
You sound so dumb right now. You sound so dumb. Need
No.
Yeah, that is actually, that's a good question. Thing. Can you be a cowboy if you don't own cows?
Yeah, because it's a profession.
So, like, a doctor doesn't.
You're not necessarily hurting your cows. Right? You get hired via an app
to herd somebody else
to come to someone's farm and herd their cows.
Like, okay, Uber, so if you heard cows. Other animals, like, who is this? Dectron in the... No, that's not it. Get Stoos says in the chat, Pig Boy? If you heard pigs, you Pig Boy?
You Pig Boy.
In the beginning of Twilight Princess, in, like, the tutorial section, which lasts for, like, 5 hours, there's a part where, like, Link herds sheep, right? And he's riding a horse while doing
Don't be ridiculous. That's a shepherd. Is Link everyone a cowboy? Knows the difference, all right?
Is Link a cowboy is what I'm asking.
Is he herding fucking cows? It's very easy. He's a shepherd. When you herd
sheep, you know what? That's a good point. That's a good point. You are a shepherd. But Link's a shepherd?
Wow. Shepherd, sheep herd, sheep herder. See? Holy shit. Etymology at its best. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games
Kind of Funny Daily. Games Daily. Next week's hosts go like this. On Monday, it's me and Tim. We're back at it like a bad habit. Tuesday, it's me and Imran. Wednesday, it's Greg and Gary Witta. Thursday, it's Greg and Tim. And then Friday, it's me and Greg. And of course, this has been Kind of Funny Cowboys Daily. Each and every weekday, live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through all the nerdy cowboy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.
Finn.